Sports Podcast. I said, welcome to the Dirty Sports Podcast with Andy Ruther and Joe Prano. Welcome to the Dirty Sports Podcast.
Welcome to the Dirty Sports Podcast. I am your host, Andy Ruther, coming to you live from Cincinnati, Ohio, with my co-host live from Venice Beach, California, Joey Nocho Prano.
Thank you, Andy, and hello.
Good morning to you.
Good morning. Good early afternoon to you, sir.
Thank you, Joe.
How's Cincinnati? Big question. Scrap that. Cancel that question. Canceled. Do you have coronavirus? The Chinese flu.
Still waiting for results.
Oh, Andy. Just teasing us.
Well, if I played for the Cincinnati Reds, I would have known within 24 hours. Welcome to our system.
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, we're still praying for you.
Thank you. I don't think I do.
Feeling better?
I've been feeling much better since Friday. I think it's a lot of stress of the uncertainty of the world we live in. And
the fact you're having an existential crisis?
Well, I think, yeah, partly. And I'm going back and I'm in the middle of I'm supposed to fly to St. Louis, but now I had to go through Chicago for that. Now, to be honest, now I think I'm just going to hit up our boy CT and I think maybe just rent a car because it's so ridiculous.
I think that's the move for the St. Louis trip. Why not rent a car? It's like nothing's going on, better safe than sorry. Just drive 5 hours and then fly from there.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm thinking. So
just cut out one of your flights, one of your trips to the airport.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know. I think that's what it was, but
I'm excited to have you back, Andy.
Thank you.
I really am. I went golfing with Laz last evening, and we brought Ben in Venice, and so I busted out my old set of clubs for Ben in Venice, and now they are out of the Cadillac. They're in my apartment. They're ready for you. They got your name written all over them. I actually wrote Andy Ruther on the side.
You did.
It's a signature series now.
Yeah. I am going to golf in St. Louis, so that'll be my start.
Yeah, nice.
How's your game coming?
It's coming along.
I've watched the vids.
A lot more vids coming. There's a lot of holes. If you don't know what Andy's talking about, go to my YouTube and subscribe. We have two episodes of 2 weeks to pebble up. Nick is cutting a third episode right now. And probably got two or three more after the one he's cutting before we even get to Pebble. So there will be lots of updates. But I played with Laz and Ben last night. Started out strong, Andy. Two pars on my first two holes.
Nice.
That's what I've got to – I've just got to stay nice and easy. Take it easy. Try not to have a meltdown. I did have one meltdown hole last, a semi-meltdown hole. Laz was like, "Don't, you're in the trees there. Don't try to hit it over those trees. Don't be a hero." So I tried to hit it over those trees, be a hero, hit it into the trees twice. Kind of a meltdown hole. I'm looking forward to Pebble Beach having a professional caddy who tells me absolutely what to do every time.
And what is the exact date on that again?
That will be this coming Sunday, the 26th.
Oh, wow.
So the score that I'm shooting for is 100. I just want to keep it 100. I just want 100 or better. And, the odds are against me right now. A lot of people, the majority of the money is coming in against me. And I want to say that we are going to figure out if people do want to bet on this. It seems like so many people are itching to bet on this that I might have to set up some sort of house situation with a money line when we determine what the number is and maybe take the vig and give it to a charity or something like that, because there's a lot of people who want to bet against me, and they're probably right. But if I make the same amount of improvement in the next 7 days as I have made in the last 7 days, I think I've got a chance.
No, I don't have much faith in you. No offense, my friend.
Okay. I'm not saying I'm going to do it. I'm saying I think I have a chance.
So you're saying there's a chance.
I mean, I did the math yesterday, like on the holes, like a 99 is literally bogey and a half on every hole. So for every three, for every, you know, triple bogey, I got to have a par. For every double bogey, I got to have a bogey. Like that's, I just got to live in there.
Well, take me through the whole plan. So you're playing Sunday. What's the drive? Do you know how many hours it takes to get up there?
We're going to go stay at Laz's family's house, which is in the area. I would imagine it's in the 5 to 6 hour range.
Well, I was thinking. So are you going up Thursday or Friday?
Going up Friday, playing a practice round Saturday, not at Pebble, playing Pebble Sunday, coming back Monday.
Gotcha.
But last week, I went to the driving range on Monday. I played 18 on Tuesday. I played 9 on Wednesday. I took Thursday off. I played 18 on Friday. And I took Saturday off. I played 9 on Sunday. Today, starting the process over. Monday, I'm going to the range. Tomorrow, 9 holes with Tug Coker. Wednesday, 18 holes under the lights with Andy Laz again. And then I got Thursday, probably, well, Friday will be a day off for a drive. So Thursday, maybe get in like a morning 9 and then relax Thursday. Friday, a day off drive. Saturday, practice round. Sunday, Pebble.
Sounds like, I mean, you're staying busy. That's good.
I mean, first of all, I'm thriving in coronavirus. It's just like, hey, let's golf every single day.
Yeah,
and also, you know, we're stockpiling content here. I know there's a lot of Dirty Sports golf fans out there, so you know, go to my YouTube and watch these episodes.
Yeah, and we will have Tug Coker will be joining us on Thursday's episode to break down and dissect your play with him from Tuesday's golf outing.
Yeah. And he's played Pebble before, so he's going to give me the, he's going to give me the lay of the land. He's going to be my virtual caddy. He's going to be my pre-caddy.
Well, this is good. You play Pebble on Sunday, and then sports start on Thursday for baseball, but baseball and basketball will start up by next week.
Allegedly. Yeah. I'm really looking forward to sports returning, but this has been a nice bridge to sports returning. And honestly, it is definitely addicting. I still can't watch golf. Like I was like, oh, watch this Memorial this weekend. I was like, Jim Nance was like, put me to sleep. And I'm still not interested in the game as a quote unquote sport, but it sure is fun to get out there, drink a couple Miller Lights, smoke a little grass, whack a little balls. And I'm telling you, Andy, I got 6 days now. I just need to keep exponentially improving, and then I've got to be clutch. Then I've got to like have a day, no meltdowns, keep it between the lines. You know.
Well, sports will be returning, just not to Canada.
Well, that's right. The Toronto Blue Jays have been shut down, and is hockey? There's no hockey there either?
No, there will be. There'll be some bubbles there. So I stand corrected.
Okay, so they're doing bubble hockey,
but they did not want the Blue Jays traveling. This is how big of a shit show America is. They did not want the Blue Jays traveling back and forth from the United States.
That's smart.
I don't blame them.
Yeah, and they probably just even more so than that. They probably just don't want American, teams flying in there all the time.
Yeah, I don't blame them. One and two. This is so embarrassing again for baseball. I mean, the season starts now in this was announced 9 days before the season started. Like they're just now realizing we can't play in this country. So I actually just looked before we went live on air. The updates are the Blue Jays are looking at, as far as pro ballparks, possibly PNC Park in Pittsburgh, Camden Yards in Baltimore, the AAA Stadium in Buffalo, which just, I guess, just doesn't have the facilities or the amenities that they want to have up to speed with, you know, a professional team. So that's kind of what's on the table right now.
All the fucking Toronto Blue Jays are young. They're like one of the youngest teams in baseball. Those guys were in AAA 5 days ago. They should just play in a AAA stadium and bring baseball to somewhere that hasn't had Major League Baseball probably ever. Bring baseball to Buffalo. Bring baseball to Bangor, Maine. Bring baseball to somewhere in the Northeast that, like, to me, I think this is a great opportunity to invigorate, you know, a specific area with baseball. And honestly, probably to make Blue Jays fans. Like, Toronto's right across the thing from, like, Rochester and Buffalo and whatever. Like, make those fans that are probably Yankees fans, honestly, make them fucking Blue Jays fans. This whole, like, oh, we need, like, have you been to the fucking Sky Dome? It's not exactly nice.
Yeah, it's built in 1989.
Yeah. Give them a minor league stadium that's built, been built since then. Come on, baseball. Like, can I just commissioner already, Andy?
Well, again, this is the time where you could just do something crazy. Put them at the Field of Dreams in Iowa.
I'm telling you, put them in Maine. I need Vlad Guerrero Jr. walking around Maine.
I bet they got some good crab there.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Absolutely. The lobster tails.
Lobsters. Look.
The crab's legs. The lobster claws. Move Vlad Guerrero Jr. to Maine and have a summer.
It's just that, again, you hate to keep harping on it, but it's like, guys, you just discovered this 9 days before the season started. And this is going to be my theme for the show. It's going to be my theme. We don't know how to handle adversity in our country. And I'm going to quote my buddy who I've talked to a lot through all this, my buddy Kinner Shaw. Kinner said, he put it best. He goes, Americans, we don't know how to pivot. Like, that's the term. Whether it's from our politicians to sports to our jobs to where we live, we've all been thrown something, right, Joe? We've all been thrown an awful wrinkle in our lives.
Got hit with that curveball.
We got hit with a bad curveball. The whole world did. Worse than anything we've ever seen. But in my opinion, and that's what him and I talk about, Americans from every sector don't know how to, like, handle, right? Because we're seeing it in baseball, and now we're seeing it in football.
Well, I mean, to be fair, these times are unprecedented.
True. But I think
it's funniest for Canada. Like, I totally understand their reasoning, but the timing of it from Canada is hilarious. They were like 9 days before the season started, like, you guys are gonna play here? The Blue Jays are gonna play in Toronto. You guys are playing in Toronto. Oh, you're gonna play it here? Yeah, we're not gonna have that happen. Like, when you watch the 75-day baseball negotiations, you didn't think the Toronto Blue Jays were going to play in the fucking Sky Dome in Toronto? Like, so you guys are going to be here, like, here, and other teams are going to come and play you here? Yeah, you guys should have said that. You should have put that on the paperwork. That's not going to work for us.
The Blue Jays are me in college on my education courses. So I loved my English courses. The secondary education courses, I couldn't stand. And this is why the Blue Jays or me or baseball, whoever it is, I'd always wait to the last minute, right? I'd have a project due, and you see it coming, like you're saying, 75 days ago. You see that project coming, you wait, and then you're like, oh, wait, it's due today? It's due tomorrow? No, I didn't know. But you saw that. You knew it was coming. I don't know, man. I just think – I'm a little worried too, not like insanely worried, but worried enough when I look at football too. All those tweets yesterday from the players with the hashtag, we want to play. I texted you and Tug. I've never seen players so universally in agreement, yeah. right? From
I need to put up a okay. we need to podcast hashtag on my window for the fucking people who just do garbage in Venice Beach. Hold on.
Sure.
I'm excited that I saw the end of Venice, though. I'm excited that I was here for it.
what's before we jump into this NFL discussion, give me an update, Joe. I've been gone 75 plus days. What's
Venice? Venice is a cesspool. Venice is a wasteland. It's like, I really don't even know, like, the boardwalk is kind of business as usual on the weekends, except a bunch of people are in masks. The homeless, you know, I feel like when they were all on Mildred, the rest of us were kind of safe. So I feel like you kind of screwed us by all your complaining and like getting them off Mildred. Now they've all scattered everywhere. And like the other day I saw a lady one street over on Market. She had like, no joke, 30 bags of cans, right? And one at a time, and each one, I was standing there for like 10 minutes. Each one took 7 minutes, so I only saw one and a half, but she would dump an entire like hefty garbage bag of bottles and cans onto the street. And then
I thought she'd be collecting them to get money.
Then she would just start, well, she is, but she was compressing everything. So she wanted to have a zip file. So she started stomping on all her cans and then setting the plastic bottles on the side. But for 7 minutes, Market Street had a lady jumping up and down on like 600 cans, and they're blown away in the wind, and the fucking bottles are going over here. And everybody who's standing there like waiting for a sandwich, waiting for a slice of pizza, waiting for a coffee is looking at her like blinking guy. So then she finishes, and she just opens another bag. And she's like, I got 7 of these. I can do this all day. And I was like, I can't, like, it's time. Bye forever. I did 10 full years in Venice.
Oh, we got a big announcement. What's happening?
2010 to 2020. It's just, I can't. I just can't. It's, Venice has jumped the shark.
You're like me then. I mean, obviously I was saying that even before COVID hit, and I'm like you a couple more years since May of 2008.
I like the boardwalk. I like being down here. I like that, you know, I like
it. Walk anywhere and get, no, and I'm like you. I like that you can go in any direction and get sushi. Or
I like at night also that people are scared, like that certain people don't want to be down here. I'm like, good. Fuck you. I can handle myself against crazy meth guy. Like, we own the night down here, you know? Yeah. But like now, it's zombie land. And it's really...
It's only going to get worse.
Yeah.
So you're done. Putting the kibosh in Venice.
Yeah.
Well, that story just made me extend my stay in Cincinnati by another 60 days, so thanks.
I mean, that's the thing. It's still, like, California is still California. It's just you got to, you know, with everything that's going on, you just got to find, your lane, you know, find an HOV lane and put it on cruise control. Just stay in it.
Sure. Well, in related news to California and myself, I have requested a refund for my Chargers tickets.
Because you're not gonna they're not gonna have a ton of fans, right? They're gonna be limited fans. And then also now at this point, players aren't sure if they're gonna play.
I mean well, Joe, before we get to the player thing, the Chargers haven't made an official announcement, and I think both the Chargers and the Rams are holding on. You're there right now. I read the LA Times every day. There is just no way they're going to allow any fans. There's just no way.
Right.
This season in LA. There's just no way. So it sucks because I was excited, right? I mean, see, I'd never had season tickets. I'm excited for the most expensive stadium that's ever been created, a $6 billion stadium. But I also was like, hey, you know, I could use $1,200 right now. So I still retain the seat license for next year. I own those two seats.
Now, was any of your ticket price like seat license plus whatever.
So basically, like,
are they keeping your seat license money?
No.
No, you get everything back. You just
No. Yeah. They kept the seat license because I own those seats.
Right.
So
what percentage of that did it cost you?
That was only $200.
Okay.
Chargers are the cheapest seat. So basically, I paid $200 for a seat license. My season tickets for 10 games, which includes two preseason games, was $1,600. They didn't force us to make our final payment, so I made three payments. So basically, I get the $1,200 back. I still have the seats for next year if I want to keep those, if I want to sell those. But obviously, everybody wants their money back. The Chargers took a few days to get back to me. At least they got back quicker than COVID. And they said it took so long because nobody wants – basically, everybody wants their money back. Nobody's pushing that for next year. Like, I could push that $1,200 for 2021 season tickets. And in my head, I'm like, oh, you think I'm going to wait, Joe, until next year for the Chargers season tickets? The Earth might not exist in 2021. I
just did this. I mean, it's not nearly on the same level, but I just did the same thing with a concert that I was supposed to go to in March. It got pushed till September. And then they pushed it again till March. And I was like, that's it. I've had enough. Like, I just want my money. Give me my money. If this thing still goes on, I'll buy tickets to it in March. Like, who knows that the Troubadour is going to be a thing in March? Like, I just give me my money now and I'll figure it out later. You know, will I regret it when concerts come back and like those ticket prices go up? Maybe, but I want my money now.
I mean, that would be my advice to anybody. If you can get your money now on something, we don't know, right? Like, exactly. There's just too much uncertainty. I mean, you couldn't even do a comedy show with 15, 20 people.
Yeah.
And we're talking about a 60,000 seat stadium, which...
And the reason we couldn't do a comedy show with like 20 people is because the comedians, when you're talking, you can't eat a burger or fries. What I've learned about California is that COVID is dangerous and will kill everybody unless a restaurant has served you food. And then... you are in a food bubble where the fries, the grease of the fries, protect you from coronavirus.
It blocks it.
Yeah, we have to eat outside on the street, and you can't drink. Alcohol alone actually brings coronavirus's, you know, ability to attack you up. But if you combine that beer with French fries, you are now totally protected from coronavirus. So that's good.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So it looks like our brilliant politicians in the state of California have found a loophole in COVID.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Eating a cheeseburger and fries on the street.
Exactly. Because, you know, the thing about vaccine, like these kind of pandemic viruses, is if you like go out somewhere and you take your hands that you've been touching everything with all day and you place it on the bun of a burger and then you put it in your mouth, you're getting like little bits of the virus, so it'll help you fight the virus. I think that's their reasoning. But if you're just drinking a beer, none of your hands get in your mouth, and then you're not actually protecting yourself from the virus.
So that's where the safest spots are now, the restaurants that have to serve people outside.
Right, which is why I know the NFL players, and that, you know, we're about to get into the thing with the NFL players not wanting to play. They were talking about putting like face shields, but I think they just got to put fries, burgers, milkshakes, you know, mozzarella sticks in their face masks, then they're protected. Because that's what California's told me. Food will protect you from the coronavirus, and alcohol alone combined with the coronavirus will kill you dead tomorrow.
Yeah. Good to know. Yeah. No.
Masks 100% of the time, unless you're putting food in your mouth. And then for sure you're safe.
Gotcha. Okay. Good to know. Yeah, well, the players don't feel too safe, it seems. Like I said, there seemed to be a universal consensus, which you rarely get from star players to, you know, middle of the road players. And obviously they coordinated a massive tweet campaign yesterday. Hashtag we want to play. And it seems like they don't feel comfortable with the protocol, which, you know, we just talked about baseball. Joe, it seems like the same thing. You've had months to put something together. And here we are. I mean, guys are legit saying they don't feel comfortable. Arce? Yeah.
Well, what they're doing is, I guess the negotiation issue, right, was that they want X amount of time to prep, but they're trying to, so they're demanding that they come back, or they're supposed to come back, what, next week?
Yeah, or I think even this week. I think rookies are supposed to report this week.
And then it would be X amount of days between them reporting and the first game of the regular season, and that would be sufficient for everybody's needs and wants, but the NFL wants them to play two preseason games. Correct?
Yeah, I just don't see that happening.
I don't see it happening either. Why does the NFL even care? No one watches preseason football on television. Like, they don't even do...
I think people do, actually.
Joe. But they don't even do, national games. You know what I mean?
They do.
You do local games mostly, though.
No, but they do. They do the Sunday night football. I'm telling you. They do the Monday night football. I don't know about Monday. I know for sure they do Sunday night football.
That's so stupid. Just cancel those games. The NFL is a joke. Cancel those games. Stop it. Stop.
Look, I think
I can't commissioner all these sports at the same time.
Look,
I can't do it.
They're going to obviously do the best that they can to play, and obviously the NFL, all the sports, would be shocked if they didn't play. But it's just – it's not good when – today's July 20th. I just feel like everybody's just lost track of time through all this. The season's right around the corner. Like what's Hard Knocks going to be? What is – they're supposed to do Hard Knocks, Rams, and Chargers. What the hell is that going to be?
I don't know, but they better slather the cast and crew in fry grease. Protect all of them. Just shoot it all in In-N-Out. They're good.
Man, I bet In-N-Outs are crushing it.
Yeah.
They were crushing it when I was still in California.
Yeah, a lot of people lined up at the drive-thru. I haven't figured out the right time of day to go to In-N-Out. In 10 years in Los Angeles, there's no rhyme or reason to when it isn't out the fucking street.
No,
Like the one in Washington, on Washington now,
Boulevard,
when you turn off of Washington Boulevard, you're already in the line.
Like on the street.
But like on that entrance street before you turn in.
Well, you know the trick. Obviously, you can't do this now because the restaurant in dining is closed. The trick I learned was you go on like a non-weekend. You go on like a
Friday or Thursday night.
Whatever. Yeah, Monday, Tuesday, whatever. You go around like 11:30 to midnight and you go in.
Yeah.
You don't even wait in the drive-thru. You go in, but obviously that's off limits. Unless they started feeding people outside because I know they have tables, which, as you said, is totally safe.
Yeah, because an airborne virus, outdoor seating, you know, like that's what I know is like all the bacteria that's flying around in the air, have it around your food while you're eating it. The bacteria inside where they're cooking and preparing the food, that's very dangerous. That's dangerous. You don't want to be eating inside. Wait, that's where the food's coming. Look, I don't know how it goes, honestly. There is a science to it, though. Cheeseburgers protect you from COVID. That's for sure. They for sure do. That's what I've learned during this.
What's the deal? Like, are a lot of these, like take Main Street in Santa Monica. Have people just created restaurants?
Outdoor patios. They're in the street.
But no alcohol.
Alcohol, yeah. But you can't have alcohol. You have to have food.
So
Jameson's Pub on Main Street is open, and you can go sit at a table, and you can have a, mug of beer, but you have to have food, because if you don't have food, you'll die of COVID.
You have to have fish and chips with that beer.
Yeah, but if you get fish and chips, the fish attacks the COVID. Teenage Mutant Ninja Fishies.
Have you seen – I got to shout out Goldberg because he sent me this. Have you seen these block parties that are happening in Queens?
Like Astoria, yeah.
In Astoria.
And there's like a bunch of motorcycles. Like it looks like a DMX video.
Yeah, it really does. So basically, it sounds like New York is having the same thing that LA is doing. where they're just pushing the restaurants outside, but then people don't leave the streets.
Yeah.
And then residents got to hear people partying, which of course is also spreading COVID.
I mean, I'm like for it. I even think like Main Street, Abbot-Kinney, these places, like block the streets. Traffic is down. Do we need Main Street as a thoroughfare? Use 4th, use Ocean. Block the whole street off.
Yeah.
I was in El Segundo the other day. They blocked the whole street. There's a whole street that's just it's barricaded up. And it's just for restaurants on the street.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that's the move for a while, right?
Yeah.
I got a crazy idea. I'm just going to turn – my dad's got a nice half acre. I'm going to build a stage next to the garden. We're just going to turn it – we're going to turn Walt's backyard into a comedy club. What do you think?
Oh, no, sorry. You can't – live performance is still illegal.
Really?
Yeah, unless the performer's eating while they're doing it.
So wait, if we're eating the fresh broccoli or tomatoes from the garden while
maybe you sell it as like a garden, like a farm to table.
Yeah. Thing, what do you think?
And somebody's just doing slam poetry or whatever, you know?
Yeah. No, we're gonna do straight up stand up comedy.
I know, but don't call it stand up comedy, Andy. Call it something that's less prone to catch the virus. Like it's a book reading.
Okay. I gotcha. I'm learning these things, man.
Yeah.
So NFL, what's going to happen? They're going to set this straight, right? We assume.
Like this to me feels a lot like baseball did.
I totally agree.
Where the players are tweeting and this like it's almost like a whole like PR stunt. Like in the end, what happened was what we all knew was going to happen. You know, 10 weeks before it happened, which is baseball settled on a 60-game season, and the commissioner made it known that they're whatever. So it just seems like to me, we're going to have one preseason. Like, the NFL cut it to two. The players don't want to do it. The players are arguing with the owners. The owners are going to fight back. Eventually, they're going to settle on one. It's going to be one preseason game and then the season. It's like, guys, first of all, we don't need preseason football. So I'm fully on the player side on this one. We don't need preseason football. Stop it. We never needed it. We don't need it next year. We don't need it if we have a vaccine. We don't need it in the past. There's never been a level of football. Pop Warner, high school, college, arena league. None of them have organized preseason games. You have scrimmages.
Oh, yeah. We call them scrimmages.
Yeah. You have a scrimmage. And the NFL does scrimmages in training camp.
What about this? I saw, I believe it was Raiders owner Mark Davis, who at this point probably has a better haircut than me, which is the state of my life. You're going to love this, by the way. I actually got my haircut this weekend. Swear. I said, just thin it out. I'm going to keep it longer. I mean, is this shocking to you? She cut it. Did I go to a great clips? Yes, I did. Options unlimited.
I like that you still have the bit that hangs over your ear.
Well, it's weird because it didn't hang over my ear. And like if I comb it back, it's a mess, dude. It's a straight up mess. But anyway, Mark Davis suggested.
I think you should put like some slit. Like I feel like if you got like some like 50s hair, you could go with a real George McFly. It's like, hey, get your damn hands off her. You're my density.
By the way, all three Back to the Futures are on Netflix now.
Nice.
After I just paid to rent them for Nikki D. Anyway, this is what Raiders owner Mark Davis said. He's like, why don't we just push the season to start in November? There's always this pushback. Cut it to 12 games.
Good for Mark Davis.
Yeah. Because I think in a way, like.
I want more football. Like, and by the way, I want more regulars. Like, play the 16-game season. I'm totally for that. To me, it's like, yeah, 2 months will help some stuff. But they had way more of a head start than every other sport, and they still haven't figured it out. So giving them 2 months doesn't, to me, feel like they're going to solve a whole lot. You know, cases may be down and whatever. Hopefully we're in a better place, whatever. But all of these teams, there's all the precautions and there's all the stuff going with it. And there's always going to be, from now until forever, you know, the near future, vaccine or no vaccine, there's going to be people who come down with it. And then we're going to quarantine and whatever. So it's like, I'm all for 16 games. I'm saying if the middle of play 12 games and play two preseason games in 16 is like, let's just play the 16 game schedule, then just fucking do it.
Yeah.
Just play 16 games.
Sure. Well, I always get nervous when you start wanting to push things back or take things away. To me, that's always, right, a sign of things are going to change or things aren't going to work.
Living in fear.
Yeah. Well, we have to
address, control you.
We have to address the Redskins, or the artist formerly known as the Washington Redskins.
We need to talk about the Redskins story, or the lack thereof. This was, I gotta say, and I don't mean to belittle any of the people who had a bad experience in the Redskins organization, women who were sexually assaulted or, you know, sexually harassed or any of that stuff. But they really sold us this story like Dan Snyder was going to be doing coke out of John Gruden's asshole while a stripper watches and has a cheerleader on like a chain leash. And Josh Norman is like getting Instagram models to show up and have sex with the defensive coordinator in exchange for playing time. Like, they sold it like it was going to be this thing. And that's it for Dan Snyder and the Redskins. Change the name, change the team. Like, what was that? Friday? Thursday?
Thursday evening.
I mean, we're talking Saturday. It's a non-story.
Well, yeah. So I read the whole story, which is in the Washington Post. I believe 15 women came forward, or at least, you know, most of them were anonymous. A few revealed their own identity. Yeah, it's an awful culture of sexual harassment. You know, was there sexual assaults in there?
I honestly, I'm the only person in the world apparently who doesn't have a Washington Post thing, so I just kept getting blurbs from other people.
Okay, well, yeah, I somehow had a free article or whatever, so I read it, and it's a bad. But you, me, you, and Tug were texting. I thought Tug posed a great question. How many, and again, this does not justify it at all, but this shows how bad the culture is, actually. He said, how many NFL teams have that same sort of culture going on with women?
I said, most of them.
I said 30.
Yeah.
And then it made me think, not just NFL, Major League Baseball, NBA. We've seen what happened to the Mavericks. NHL. My question would then be, how many professional sports leagues and teams are just blatantly sexually harassing women on a daily basis?
At some level, whether it be the athletes, the executives, the coaches, the whatever, somebody is doing it every day in every organization, even the best run organizations. I think even the best run organizations that you're going to go like, probably not them. You would say maybe one guy here, two guys there. Like, it seems like in Washington, it was the culture.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I even in the story, in the blurb from the Washington Post, I read like one staffer said, "This is the worst environment I've ever been in," and I was in politics. You know what I mean? And it's like, she said that because that's kind of the culture down there in politics in general. So yeah, that kind of, I'm not surprised that bled over to the town's football team. But one, no one seems to care anymore.
It's crazy.
About this story. And two, no one really even seemed like, it just got so built up that I think the story itself didn't live up to the hype. And that hurt the ability of, like, people caring.
Yeah, and it sucks for these women. It sucks for women who have to deal with this anywhere. It's just, I want to word this carefully because, again, this is not me downplaying any of this, but I pose this question just as a question. The Me Too movement came out in 2017. I would say this. This doesn't mean that I'm against the Me Too movement. It means that after I say this, I don't know how much it's actually helped. That's my question. How much has something like Me Too actually changed these cultures?
Well, I think, not a whole lot of changing the cultures. I just think that this story doesn't come out without that. And now this story changes the culture there going forward. Sure. So, yeah, like Me Too itself didn't change the culture in a place like that, but it made this newsworthy, and now this will change the culture there.
Yeah, and again, that's my point. I'm not trying to negate Me Too or negate any of these just, you know, toxic cultures. I wonder, we're talking sports then, Joe, right? Then it makes you wonder about Hollywood or corporate America. And I think you and I have interesting perspectives because we're the outside looking in. You know what I'm saying? Like we're not, I've never been around that. I don't know what that is. I'm not in the office. I'm not working for a team. I'm not like, I don't know. Like, I'm just, I think I'm naive to it in a way too. Cause I don't know.
Cause I've certainly heard about it from various women in my life.
Me too.
My girlfriend, people I've worked with, my manager, like, how sure. people get treated in corporate America, whether it be entertainment, sports, whatever. And like, none of that surprises me. But you know what the other thing is? When you say we're on the outside looking in, is I think that there's something to that as well. I think that shitty, terrible people who want to, you know, harass women and want to whatever, they get emboldened by the culture of some places, and they know that there's a corporate culture that covers their ass, and they dip into it, and they're like, yeah, this is what we do. We sexually assault Sally on work retreats. We throw, you know, shit at her all the time. We say nasty shit to her, and we grab her, and it's like, yeah, okay, I'm gonna go.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like, I'm just thinking of my own life, like professional settings. I was a teacher for a year. I've worked in the service industry. Obviously that's none of that's corporate. It's just, it's different. But I agree. And I've heard things, we both have. That's why I asked that question about how many teams is this happening in?
That's what I would say. I would say 100% on some level.
100 I totally agree. And you're right. I feel like the fact that this story was so hyped up.
Like when you think about these teams, all the personnel, all the executives, all the players, all the, like, for example, great example of a well-run, like, family, like they mean business and they're going to do it the right way. Pittsburgh Steelers. Ben Roethlisberger's a multiple accused rapist. Still the quarterback in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
The whole time. Never wasn't.
Sure.
Not for a second. Pittsburgh was never like, we're going to have a talk with him. They're like, we're going to have a talk with him about it and extending his contract.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point.
And that's like, you know, the Rooney family is – like
they're trying royalty.
To do it. Yeah. They're trying to do it the right way.
Yeah.
But Ben Roethlisberger is like, there is a long list of accusations against Ben Roethlisberger.
Sure.
Long.
Yeah. I was ready to do a long and distinguished, but I'm going to refrain because that's your thing. And I don't think that's the time and place for that. You tipping your cap to me?
Good day, sir.
Well, Joe, I know you were talking about we should be turning these outdoor restaurants, you know, the outdoor restaurants, and you're talking about cheeseburgers and all that stuff. I got a solution for you. You don't have to mess with any of that stuff. Butcher Box, Joe. Our friends at Butcher Box. The meal, not the mood, the meal will be set right to your house. The food.
I do love Butcher Box, Andy. I mean, getting it's better than the meal plans. They're just like, here's some meats. And yeah. I'm like, let's cook some meats.
Well, it's summer
in America.
I also love it's not exactly easy now more than ever, given our current climate. It's not exactly easy to find like your 100% grass-fed beef or free-range organic chicken, right? Like it's not exactly easy to find that.
And who wants to go to the supermarket?
Exactly. One less trip. Actually, I should correct that. Multiple less trips.
Yeah.
Because every month, ButcherBox ships a curated selection of high-quality meat to your house. All the meat is free of antibiotics and added hormones. And like I'm saying, they send you a lot of meat. Each box has 9 to 11 pounds of meat, enough for 24 individuals. But we're practicing social distancing, so that's enough for you or your partner and your family, guys. Be smart. Packed fresh and shipped frozen and vacuum sealed so it stays that way. You can customize your box to go with one of theirs. Either way, it's great. So mark a visit to the meat counter off your list of things to do and receive quality meats delivered to your door now. Just go to butcherbox.com/dirty. That's butcherbox.com/dirty. Which, I'll be honest, I could really use some Butcher Box right now. Because...
Me too, honestly.
Right?
Yeah, my fridge and freezer are completely bare. And I really don't want to go shopping.
I don't either.
And I really wish I did. Everything else I do now at this point, I get delivered. Everything. Ordering clothes and golf stuff and whatever. I just order online. It comes here. Why go? I'm not going to go to Dick's Sporting Goods. Like, sure. Just order it. I just got a box of golf balls in the mail from Amazon. Send me my meat. Let's go Butcher Box. Jump it. Like, let's get that meat. Let's get those good meats delivered.
Yeah, I feel ya. So there was a really interesting article I thought that I enjoyed reading and perusing through. It's actually really long, so I didn't read it word for word. But ESPN did a huge piece on college football and basketball coaches that have had that have accepted a pay cut during the pandemic and coaches that haven't. And I thought it was interesting.
Now, were all of these coaches asked to take a pay cut and some of them refused?
And that's what it breaks down.
So, if a coach wasn't asked to take a pay cut, like I'm not calling up anybody and being like, hey, you guys want some money back?
Some voluntarily did it.
Good for them. Who are those guys?
Who have voluntarily taken a pay cut?
Yeah.
Jim Harbaugh from Michigan.
I've always liked Jim Harbaugh.
Lincoln Riley, Oklahoma's head coach. Coach K. Tom Izzo.
I love Duke. And I want to give some of your money back. I just love the Duke basketball program. And I want to make sure that it's good for it. I love Duke.
And I think some of these guys who did not take a pay cut will not surprise you at all. People who did not want to take a pay cut. Dabo Swinney.
There he is. Why would I give my money back? We just keep winning. You don't pay for me. To come here and coach every day. You pay for me to win championships. So it doesn't matter how many games. I'm paid on a per championship basis. So we don't need to worry about the day-to-day. Lump sum. Pay me. God will give you a refund when you get to see him at the pearly gates. Coaches, bank accounts matter. Football matters. The South matters. God matters. We're going to win. We're good. We're going to win.
So Dabo, there's a – Joe, you're going to see there's kind of a consistency here. All these Southern coaches, No pay cut for Dabo. No pay cut for Nick Saban.
Oh, yeah.
No pay cut for Texas A&M coach Jimbo Fisher.
No
pay cut for Georgia coach Kirby Smart. Auburn coach Gus Malzahn.
The Lord will provide you with a refund. The Lord always provides.
Florida coach Dan Mullen. Again, like we're seeing very heavily SEC country, and I actually posted this on our Twitter. You know, ESPN had a graphic of the conference coaches of all the major five conferences. The SEC football basketball coaches are the least amount to take a pay cut. And it's by far the SEC.
Yeah, that's not surprising.
Well, but it's in it. Look, I'm not.
I got to give you money back because of a hoax, because a Democratic hoax to get Donald Trump out of the White House. No, I don't think so. That's not how this works. I already give too much money to this government.
I am not one to tell people to give their money back. I am.
Look. Yeah, that's why I said we can shout out the voluntarily gave money. Like, but the people who were asked and refused, also assholes.
There's a but to this for me. But also, we're talking SEC country.
Yeah.
Where is Corona raging right now?
Yeah.
A lot of SEC country.
Because they still believe it's a hoax. And then masks are impeding on their freedom and that God will protect them. And, you know, what I'm always, like, surprised about is God will protect these guys from coronavirus, but God absolutely will not protect them if a burglar comes into their house. That's why they need 200 guns by their bed. Whoa. God doesn't get involved in hand-to-hand combats. That's why I need my pistols on my nightstand. So but God definitely fights viruses. God and cheeseburgers fight viruses. Guns fight intruders.
So yeah, this
big
is my
dumb fucking idiot.
This is my problem with all this, is that this is why I'm calling it out. So the areas where it's very high, SEC country, the coaches are not taking pay cuts, which the university needs. It's all a cycle. The university needs that money more than ever if they don't play football. So there's selfishness, right? But then the coaches are also selfish because they expect the players to play in a higher risk situation, which again is that part of the country. But you see what I'm getting at?
Meanwhile, the Ivy League schools are like, football's canceled. It's fine. We don't care. Because the people who go to Harvard end up the titans of industry. And they give money back to Harvard. And it's fine. And Princeton. And Yale. And all those things. I mean, so no football at Alabama this year? The guy who runs the Kumho tire store down the street has got to send you money back to make sure that the school can still have classes without all the money they make from football? Like, well, you know, I did get a great education there. And, you know, the gas station is doing well. So get them that money.
But that's my point of, again, I'm not saying anybody has to take a pay cut, but you're kind of a dick. Like, we are in.
But we knew Dabo Swinney wore a shirt that said football matters. We knew he was a dick, right?
I think so.
Jimbo Fisher wasn't he the Jameis Winston?
Yeah.
Like, you know.
He was his guy.
Yeah, he was Jameis Winston's cleanup guy.
Sure.
He was Jameis Winston's fixer. He was Harvey Keitel in Pulp Fiction.
Basically.
Showed up. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean it's
he would show up after Jameis Winston's frat parties, pretty please, with a cherry on top. Get the hooker out of the car.
Yeah, so I don't know. These guys are all we love him, Joe. We love our guy, Coach O.
Yeah.
But even Coach O, come on, man.
Not taking a pay cut.
Well, I don't see him on this list either way, so I can't confirm.
Fun story, they don't pay me at all. How can I take a pay cut when I don't get paid? No one in the history of this game has done it more for the love of the game. I live in a van. I drive that van wherever I am the interim coach. I drove from old Mississippi out to the University of Southern California, and I drove it back across the country to Bayou. Me and my wife, we live in a van. And it ain't always one of them fancy down by the river vans. Sometimes it's just a crick.
Now, Coach, now that we have you on the line, you actually said last week that the country needs football.
Well, doesn't it? Andy, let me ask you a question. Do you agree that the country needs football?
I think we need to have certain...
God came to me when I was sleeping, and he said, Coach, you got options. I could give you a vaccine, or I could give you football. And I said, the country needs football. It don't matter if people are healthy or people are sick, people are dying, or people are starving, people got jobs or people don't. If they got football, that's enough.
Good to know, Coach. Yeah, because from all your comments, you were actually with Vice President Mike Pence down in Louisiana last week.
That's right. We were hanging out with Mike Pence. We were the Vice President of the United States. I talked to him. We share some a lot of thoughts about what are important to this country. And Mike Pence, he said, he agreed with me. He said, Coach O, we need football. As long as everybody stands for a national anthem before the game, we absolutely need football. If they don't, then we don't need football. But if they do stand, then we need football.
But, Coach, even your own team, remember you guys all quarantined because so many players on your own LSU Tiger team had tested positive.
Andy Ruther, we are the defending national champion LSU Bayou Bengals. I see coronavirus coming around the corner. Not one, not two, not three COVIDs, 19 COVIDs coming at me. I got a strategy. I tell them to suck my Tiger dick. They ain't going to beat the Tigers. Coronavirus might go up there, get the orange in Syracuse. Yeah, they might get some of them Northeastern teams. They might take down the Crimson at Harvard. They might take down the little Bulldogs at Yale. Bulldogs about a 50-pound dog on a good day. It ain't even a fighting breed. But you going to come at a Tiger? I enjoyed very much the Tiger King on Netflix, and it reminds me of something that everybody needs to know. The majority of tigers don't roam free in the United States. Most tigers in the United States are being held in captivity. They are ready to fight. They have been caged up their whole lives. You're about to throw in some meat, they're gonna eat it. You're about to throw in a Corona, they're gonna drink it. You're about to throw in a coronavirus, they're gonna attack it.
Coach Joe, good to have him back on the show.
We need football. There was a scientist back in the day. He talked about all the things that we need. We need to breathe, to eat, to have a place to stay, security, and we need football. That's what he said. As he had a hierarchy.
Is that a Sigmund Freud reference?
In a hierarchy of human needs. He said ale, football, food, security. I think maybe crawfish was down there. That was separate from food, a specific crawfish. It might have been fifth. You don't need it, but it's nice to have it.
Good to know, Coach. Well, I hope it works
fire,
out.
Fire. We need fire. Football, freedom, three F's, and French fries because it fights coronavirus.
Coach O, ladies and gentlemen, back on the Dirty Sports Podcast. Oh, my goodness. Good to see he's still fiery down there in the bayou.
Oh, yeah. Coach O ain't getting taken down by no stinking virus.
I mean, I will say, when I saw that quote in the headline, it's the most Coach O quote ever. We need football.
Yeah. And you know, that's like, he's just tweeting it every day.
Yeah.
He's just doing the Donald Trump law and order, but he's just doing, we need football.
Unbelievable. Well, Joe.
By the way, a lot like the Donald Trump thing, like throw Law and Order SVU a bone every once in a while. Just going with the, just pushing the original so much.
Yeah,
how about,
right?
A Mariska, how about a little Mariska Hargitay shout out?
Yeah.
Olivia Benson.
I'll be honest, man. I've never watched an episode.
Of any Law and Order?
Not a single episode.
I'm shocked. It's been on so long.
I know.
Law and Order was on for a long time. Law and Order SVU has been on almost as long now. Then there was spinoffs. There was like, there's other Law and Orders even.
I know.
Criminal Intent.
Yep.
You've never watched any episode of any Law and Order.
Must. The most Law and Order I've ever watched is Tug doing his.
That's insane.
Yeah.
That's insane.
This doesn't do anything for me.
Everybody you've ever seen was on Law and Order.
I know.
Everybody had a Law and Order role at one point, including Tug Coker.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
But that was the thing back in the day. You have to like guess if you knew. A lot of times people would like be somebody and then on their like way back down, they would do a Law and Order. You know, Tug got it on the up. A lot of people get it on the up. A lot of people get it on the down.
Yeah.
So if you knew, my trick was always if you recognize the name of a guest star, they probably did it. You're like, and Tony Danza. Oh man, Tony Danza's gonna rape somebody. This is.
But that type of stuff just doesn't interest me. Is it more for comedy? Even though it's not supposed to be comedy.
No, it's a fantastic. I've watched 250 episodes.
Wow.
No joke, for sure. Is
Ice-T on one of the Law and Orders?
Yeah, SVU, dog. The original SVU is the way you got to go, too. Chris Maloney, Mariska Hargitay, Ice-T, Richard Belzer, and the old, creepy, bald captain.
Gotcha.
There was some good – the Law and Order at one point went – oh, what's the guy's name? I always forget his name. The mustached actor, older guy. I think he died recently.
Look it up. You know we have a couple dirtball questions and we want to get to.
Sure, let's do it.
Before we wrap up the show. Okay, so dirtball questions. Let's hop into the DMs. You guys can DM us at The Dirty Sports.
Dennis Farina.
Yeah, that's
Dennis
it.
Dennis Farina had a short run on Law and Order.
His, you got from NYPD Blue?
No, that's Dan. That's a different guy. But similar. Similar vibes.
All right. Well, the questions, we have a couple questions today. Let's get to these. First up, we have Maniacal Mitch from Down Under.
Down Under.
Dr. Mitch down in Australia, a Hall of Fame dirtball, as you guys know. He said, if you could snitch on any player in the NBA out of spite, who would it be and what would you say they had done? This is reference to the NBA snitch hotline. In the Disney bubble. Okay, Joe, so he's saying out of spite. I already know who yours is.
Yeah, I would say Carmelo,
right?
Because he's the devil and because he was the head of the Stop Snitching campaign. So that would be a nice revenge. And I would say that he was like going around spitting in people's mouths. I'm just going to say the most aggressively reckless COVID violation.
I'm assuming he'll be down there. I could be wrong. He's not a current player. But, you know, media is down there, right? Because they're still doing media coverage. Paul Pierce.
Okay. Cinching on Paul Pierce.
Because.
He's walking around with shit in his pants.
I just can't. I can't handle his takes anymore. It's complete troll. They're all so ridiculous. And I just can't deal with it. I can't deal with the fake stuff. And ESPN has turned into that, right? We're just going to put guys on for takes they don't agree with.
Yeah.
I don't like that. Paul Pierce is my guy.
If you had to pick one guy to snitch on to affect the like outcome, like who are you rooting for? Who do you want to win the NBA championship?
The Lakers.
So who is the Lakers' best competition, you think? The Clippers?
Yes.
So would you snitch on Kawhi?
It'd have to be Kawhi. I mean, what are you snitching on? Kawhi is such a like low key guy. You know? Yeah.
He would never, like, if you snitched on him and they came and questioned him about it, though, he would break under pressure whether he did or he didn't. Like, he would definitely not be Tug Coker on Law and Order Cool.
Like, yeah.
They'd be like, Kawhi, we have reports that you have hoes. He's like.
I mean, you remember when that video leaked of him at the strip club last year?
Yeah.
He was just so just matter of fact. I think that's their biggest competition. Nothing against the Bucks, but get Paul Pierce out of there. I like the irony of Melo being snitch on.
Yeah.
He's the king of stop snitching.
I mean, I would have done it just because of how much I hate Melo, but also I'm also doing it because I want to help the Blazers.
Yeah.
I love the Blazers. I can't believe they have Melo.
Did you see the controversy over Damian Lillard's you probably didn't. His room?
No.
So they decorated outside of his room. CJ McCollum decorated outside of his room because yesterday was Dame's 30th birthday. Right?
Okay.
So he put like a balloon or some bows outside his room and like he took a picture and the NBA Twitter posted it like happy 30th birthday.
Right.
They blurred out what was on his door, which was presidential suite. The NBA did not want, obviously, Dame's a star player. They didn't want people seeing that star players get better rooms. And then right under that, people posted YouTube videos from the presidential suite, which you get down there.
Right.
And it's not like the best of the best. I mean, it's a very nice room. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
But I just thought that was interesting. Like, even in the NBA, like, I don't know why that would bother players. So, right? Better players get nicer rooms.
Yeah, I guess. But, like, the presidential – like, why isn't the coach in the presidential suite?
Maybe he is.
Yeah. I guess there's a couple presidential suites.
Oh, there's thousands of rooms down there.
Right.
It makes you wonder what LeBron's room is.
Yeah. He's staying in the Epcot.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. He's just staying in the golf ball.
Yeah. That's right. And then it makes you think of some of the scrubs.
Or he's staying in like the actual Disney castle.
Yeah.
His daughter's coming every day, thinking she's home, thinking she's a princess.
They gave
get back to the castle. It's Taco Tuesday.
Our second question today is from Ryan McLean. Do you think there is a difference between getting an injury and not being able to play and getting corona and not being able to play? Will there be a caveat if the Bucks win the finals, but LeBron got COVID before game one? Should it be treated the same as KD getting hurt last year?
I think that's what we're going to be at across all sports now, is that like it's essentially going to be, you know, the new hamstring.
I don't think it'll be treated the same, to answer that part of the question.
In what sense?
We'll look at it differently. I mean, KD's was...
I mean, we look at it differently already. Like, the Raptors didn't beat the full-strength Warriors.
I think we forget about that.
The Warriors didn't beat a full-strength Cavs that first year.
People don't talk about that, though, Joe. They don't.
Well, they should.
I'm not saying that they shouldn't, but they don't talk about
LeBron's 3-6 in finals. Yeah, Kyrie and Kevin Love were hurt for that finals.
But let's bring it back to last year.
The Warriors fans, too, they're like, Draymond Green was suspended for one game.
I know, but obviously KD gets injured. People don't talk about that, man.
I mean, I think more people do than you're giving credit for. I think more people do talk about that.
I just think people are going to view it a little differently. I think if somebody gets COVID, somebody of a star status, that's when all this asterisk talk just really takes off. But I, at this point, I'm a firm believer of they're going to cover it up. There's no way a major star gets it in like the finals. They don't let him play. As reckless as that is from a health decision. There's going to be 30 for 30s in documentaries on this for years to come. That's kind of what intrigues me the most about the bubble, the conspiracy stuff.
Yeah.
Like, what's really happening?
Right.
So those are the questions today. Guys, again, you can DM us at TheDirtySports on Instagram and Twitter, or you can DM me at Andy Ruther. Joe, we banged it out. I know you got to hit the links.
Yeah, I'm not. Not till probably this evening hitting the range. I don't think I'm gonna play a course today. But I will soon. And if you want to follow the 2 weeks to Pebble story, go to my YouTube page. It's YouTube/ Joe Prano, or just put me in, or just put hashtag 2 weeks to Pebble in anything and find it. I've been posting the links on Twitter. It comes out on my Instagram as well, but it comes out like a day or two later. Trying to get you guys to go subscribe to my YouTube. So go check that out. Follow me on Twitter at Fix Your Life, on Instagram at Joe Prano. And yeah, we're just going to keep plugging along. Tug's going to play with me tomorrow.
Cool.
And then, we'll have him on the show Thursday. And then we hit the real, you know, the final stretch.
What, until I come back?
Yeah.
Yeah,
until Andy Ruther returns. We're a Pebble round and then a week away
August 3rd.
Which is what, a Monday?
It's 2 weeks from today. You want to pick me up from the airport?
Sure. Pick me up in your car that I've been driving.
Pick me up in my car, and then we're gonna go straight to podcasting.
Yeah.
It's gonna be a weird feeling being in my apartment.
Well, first we'll have to stop at In-N-Out and get burgers so that we're safe to podcast together. Because you'll have been coming off a flight.
True.
So unless I slather myself in fry grease, I'm very susceptible.
Yeah. So I better buy a bunch of burgers to just rub all over my apartment.
Yeah.
And all over my car.
Yeah.
And all over my body.
Actually, smart idea.
I'll just bathe in that grease.
Yeah.
All right, Joe. Looking forward to coming back. Dirtballs, thanks for all the support. Have a great week, guys. And as always, stay dirty.